Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Well, depending upon when you're watching this teaching, you could be celebrating your last night of Sukkot, or you could be just wrapping up your Sukkot. So I hope that you had a wonderful season, fall feast season this year, that your Sukkot was wonderful and blessed, and that it was full of joy. So this week's teaching, I want to kind of talk still about the fact of the new Jerusalem and what we as believers in Yeshua have to look forward to. And as we study this topic, I want to get into something that he laid out for us in the Old Testament, which teaches us a roadmap and gives us an understanding of who he is as a holy God and how we find ourselves in his presence. So let's look at Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 22. He says, "And I saw no sanctuary in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its sanctuary." This is talking about the New Jerusalem. "And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be closed by day, for there will be no night there. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing defiled, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." So this passage starts off with how glorious the new Jerusalem is going to be. What we have to look forward to. Earlier in this chapter, we see how he mentions that there will be no more crying. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. We are going to be in the New Jerusalem. There will not be a sanctuary there because he is there. No longer do we need a tabernacle to host his presence on the earth, or a temporary dwelling here on the earth to house his presence. Now, we currently are that temporary housing of his spirit. And in the Old Testament, we see that it was the tabernacle that Moses built. And as we get further into this teaching, we're going to study that and see some things that this points out to us about his character and his presence. Okay. But when we are in the New Jerusalem, we will not be the tabernacle of his Holy Spirit anymore, because we will be in his presence. We will be with him. And what I want to talk about this week is in verse 27, what does he say? "Nothing defiled shall enter into this city." Okay. So nothing that has been defiled by this world. Okay. Nothing that has been made unclean. So that which is going to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem are those who have been cleansed from all of their defilement. And that's where I want to go and talk about the tabernacle. The tabernacle lays out a map, I would say, of how we find the presence of God. As you approach the tabernacle, the first thing you came to was the outer courts. Okay, and inside the outer court, you had two things. The first thing you came to, and the first things the priest did, was the brazen altar. This was the altar where they would sacrifice the animal. This is where the bloodshed occurred. In order for Israel, who was unclean, who was defiled by their sin, in order for them to approach the Most Holy God, they first had to deal with that which defiled them. And what they did was they sacrificed the spotless lamb or the bull that was without blemish. Now, of course, Yeshua is our Passover lamb. He is the one without blemish, the one who is without sin, who died upon the cross for our sins. And by his blood was shed for us so that we could be cleansed of our defilement, of that which made us unclean. The sacrifices that they were doing at the tabernacle was pointing us to what Yeshua would do for us. So if we want to enter into the holy gates of the New Jerusalem, we first must deal with the thing that has defiled us, and that is our sin. And the first step to dealing with our sin is the blood of Yeshua. There's no other way to be cleansed of our defilement. There's no other way for us to be made clean so we can enter into that gate. It is only by the blood of Yeshua. So we must believe that he died upon that cross for us, and that by his blood, there is a removal or a cleansing of our sins, of our defilement, that by believing in him, that we are made righteous, that we are now in right standing with the holy God of Israel. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and in evil deeds, but now he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So we were once enemies in our mind and in our evil deeds. We were alienated away from God. We were in a stance that we would not be able to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem. But we were reconciled. We were put in right standing. Our relationship with our Creator was restored. We were brought back into relationship with our holy God so we could enter into his presence. So we could become his dwelling place here on earth. And then ultimately, we can live and dwell with him forever in the New Jerusalem. And how were we reconciled? By his flesh through his death. And by his blood, he is able to present us before God as holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Because in order for us to be able to enter into his presence, we must be holy. We must be blameless. So we need that covering of his blood that atones for our sins. So because of his blood, and then when we put our belief in him, the holy God of Israel no longer sees our sin, no longer sees our defilement, but he sees us as holy and blameless because he sees the blood of Yeshua. Let's look at verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So here in verse 23, Paul brings in a if statement. You will be seen as blameless, as holy, and as beyond reproach if you continue in the faith firmly and steadfast. So we have to firmly stay in his faith. Now we need to examine what our faith is and what is faith. Is faith enough to simply say that you believe something, but yet you don't do anything? See, James talks about how our faith without works is dead. Okay, so if we believe in Yeshua as our Messiah, then we believe in him as our Lord, as our Master. So now our faith should cause us to want to serve our Master. Our faith should cause us to believe the words that he has spoken. And because we believe the words he has spoken, we obey his word. See, our faith in Yeshua is that we're believing he was the Son of the living God who came and died on the cross for us. So we're putting our faith in the God of Israel as well. And our belief in the God of Israel, we must believe in his word. And if we believe what he has said, then we will do it. He says that his word is good. Paul calls the law, or the Torah, holy, righteous, and good. So do you believe that his law is righteous? It sets the standard for what is right and what is wrong. It is good. It is a good thing to learn his law. It is a good thing to walk according to his law. And because his law is righteous, when you walk in obedience to his law, you walk in righteousness. Do you believe that his law is holy, that it is set apart? His law is what sets us apart from the world. When we put our belief in Yeshua, now we're beginning our faith walk, where now we're learning to no longer walk as the world walks, okay? To no longer be conformed unto the world, but be transformed into the image of Yeshua. So our belief and our faith should cause us to have a desire to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk as he did. And what's going to set us apart? What's going to cause us to no longer be conformed unto this world, but to be transformed into the image of Yeshua? It is by walking in obedience to his law. Now, walking in obedience to his law will never justify us. It will never cover or atone for our sin. We must be atoned by the blood of Yeshua. It starts with the blood of Yeshua. Then we're called to walk firmly and grounded and steadfast in our faith. If we love him, we will obey his commandments. So our faith must be alive. Our faith must produce obedience in our lives. That's how we know we have faith. It's because we are walking according to his word. We begin to produce fruits of repentance. People can see that we have turned from our wicked ways and we are now walking with Yeshua. Think about it. Yeshua was the sinless and spotless, the blameless one, who upheld the law of God perfectly. And we have been called to walk just as he walked. How do we transform ourselves into the image of Yeshua? By walking as he walked. And again, he walked in perfect obedience to the law. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua, Messiah, once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting from that time until his enemies are put as a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who were being sanctified. The blood of Yeshua is the only blood that can remove our sins. And by his offering, he sanctified us once and for all, is what this beginning scripture talks about. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua, meaning we have been cleansed from that which has defiled us by the blood of Yeshua, by his death. So now we are made clean. We are made pure. That which is pure will enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem. We have been made pure by his death. But then it goes on in verse 14, for he has perfected for all time, so he has perfected us for all times, those who are being sanctified. So he has perfected us. He has cleansed us. He has made us able and worthy to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem, to be the dwelling place of his Holy Spirit here on this earth for all time. But it's for those who are also being what? Sanctified. So this is also talking about this process of us no longer being like the world and learning to walk like Yeshua. This is a process of learning his law and walking in obedience to his law. That is what it means to being sanctified. Now, the next thing that we see as we enter into the tabernacle is the water basin. So the priest would sacrifice the animal, and the blood was shed upon that altar. And then he would go and he would cleanse himself with the water that was inside of the water basin. And this speaks of water baptism for us. So as we're making our journey into the presence of the Most High, upon belief in Yeshua and believing in the blood of Yeshua, now we come to water baptism. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So once we put our belief in Yeshua, we go and we enter and we partake in water baptism. And water baptism is an outward speaking of what is going on in the heart and the process of what we are going through as a new believer in Yeshua. And as we are walking with Yeshua, We're continually going through this process of where we have put our old man to death. The old man that gave into the desires of the flesh. The old man that sought conformity unto this world. We have put that man to death. And we have been raised to walk in newness of life as a new man. So we're going into water. It's symbolizing our death to our old man. And as we raise up out that water, we're coming out in the power of his resurrection to walk in newness of life, to walk in obedience to his word, to his commandments, and his law. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So what is our charge now? To no longer be slaves unto sin. To no longer give in to the desires and the passions of our flesh. To no longer give in to the peer pressure of the world around us. To no longer give in to the desire to seek and to conform unto this world. But we are to no longer be slaves unto sin. We are now free to walk in righteousness. We are free to walk in obedience. He has set us free to walk in obedience. He hasn't set us free to do whatever we want. And there is something else that Scripture talks about that cleanses us, and that is the water of His Word. His Word is symbolized a couple places in this tabernacle. So as we are working on becoming like Yeshua and walking with Him, His Word will cleanse us of the desires and the thoughts and the way of thinking that is like this world, that is corrupt, and will cleanse our minds and purify our minds to be righteous and holy and good, to be pleasing unto God and to think upon that which is righteous and that which is holy and that which is good, and to desire that which is righteous and that which is good. Then we come to the holy place. And in the holy place, we have three things. We find three things. So as a believer in Yeshua, as we're approaching him, we have been cleansed by his blood. We have gone through water baptism. We are now in the process of becoming sanctified. We have died to our old man. We are walking in newness of life. We are no longer a slave unto sin. Now we begin to have relationship with him. And in that is what we find in the inner courts of the tabernacle. That's where we find him. We find relationship with him. But in order to get that relationship, we first had to be cleansed. Okay? And one of the things we see in there is a showbread. The showbread would sit in there, and it would soak up the glory of Yahweh. And then the priest would partake of the showbread. They would partake of his glory. And we have been called to partake of him. Okay? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So we need to live and eat on his word. His word will feed us. His word, it is what is going to sustain us. Not only is it going to cleanse us of that, those thoughts and those desires that are unholy, but his word is going to sustain us. It's going to empower us in order to walk in that newness of life. It's going to provide food unto our spiritual man. Our spiritual man needs food, and his word is going to feed that spiritual man inside of us. The next thing we see is his lampstand. This is the burning of the oil, speaking of the anointing and his Holy Spirit and the light that his Spirit shines into the world, as well as his word is shined into a dark place. The lampstand is what lit up the dark place inside the inner courts. Okay? So his Spirit is doing the same thing for us today. It gives us light in this dark world. His Spirit guides us and leads us, brings us counsel, directs us on how to walk in obedience to his word, how to walk in his righteousness in that which is set apart. His Holy Spirit will come and bring conviction when we do that which is not right. Why? Because his Holy Spirit desires for us to be pleasing unto the Almighty, and for us to be that living sacrifice unto the Almighty, and for us to walk in that which is righteous, because he is trying to lead us and guide us to the gates of the new Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit is our light, shining us to that blessed place of hope that we are all looking forward to. So we have to be careful to keep the Holy Spirit burning in our hearts. They were to keep that lamp stand burning inside that inner room at all times. We are to keep the Holy Spirit burning inside of us at all times. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. His Holy Spirit is here to help us and guide us and teach us according to God's word and to get us to the place we desire to go. The next thing we see is the altar of incense, and this represents the prayers of his people. We as his people have the blessing and the joy to be able to come and pray and cry out to him and know that our prayers are as incense that are rising to his throne. And when he hears our prayers, when that incense rises to his throne, he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. That is the joy that we have. That is the confidence that we have as one who is walking in covenant with him. And that's what this is about. When we put our belief in Yeshua, have entered into covenant with him. And our covenant with him is to no longer be a slave unto sin, but to now to walk as a new person, as a new man, a new woman, who is now a slave unto righteousness. We are now a slave unto obedience to his word. You are a servant to whomever you obey. You're either a servant unto God by obeying his law, or you are a servant unto the god of this world, Satan, by obeying the lust of your flesh. Let's look at Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add to it the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the angel's hand before God. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. So we, as believers in Yeshua, have the confidence and the ability to come and to bring our prayers and to lift our voice before him and know that he hears it. And when he hears it, heaven moves on our behalf. Heaven will answer our prayers. Heaven is fighting for us. We are not alone in this fight. We are not alone in this battle. He is with us. So as we walk in covenant with him, we can stand in full assurance, in full confidence, and in full expectation for our prayers to be answered. And we will actually see and partake in these elements in the New Jerusalem. We will be bringing our praise before him at the throne. Our praise will be as that incense rising up to him. He is going to teach us his word in the new kingdom. And of course, we will be soaking in his spirit. We will be in his light. There will be no more need for the lampstand. There will be no more need for the sun or the moon, because Yeshua is the sun. He will light up the new Jerusalem. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. As we get back to talking about, it's those that are pure that will enter into the gates. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So who is Yeshua coming back for? He is coming back for a bride who has made herself ready. And how has she made herself ready? She has clothed herself in fine linen, bright and clean, meaning her garments are white, they are pure. His bride is without spot. His bride is without blemish. That is what he is coming back for, a pure, clean, holy bride. And that is what is going to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem. And what does Revelation say is her fine linen? It's the righteous acts of the saints. So how do you put on the white garment? By walking and doing righteous acts, walking in his righteousness, walking in that which is right, having become unstained from the pollution of this world, not having been blemished, not having been conformed into the image of this world. He's coming back for a bride who loves him. And because she loves him, she obeys his commandments. Our righteous acts are as filthy rags if we do not have belief in Yeshua. So first there's the sacrifice, first there's the belief, then we put on our righteous acts. We, by walking in obedience to his word, his law, his commandments. It is what is righteous, It is what defines what is righteous. And when we walk in obedience to it, we walk in his righteousness. And in one day, we will get to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem. And everything that we go through down here will be so worth it when we enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem. Well, hallelujah. I am so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.